I'm Henry Lynn.
And I'm Barnett Zitron.
And welcome to Better World.
Better World is an exploration of badass people doing really good things.
The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing it.
So, welcome to Better World.
Barnett, it's good to have you back. Wow, we're really popping on the mics today. And it turns out that Fashion Week couldn't have made it without you.
Yeah. I mean,
hard, yeah.
I'll take credit for the entire week.
For New York fashion. Fashion with a U.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I just waved a magic wand and it all happened.
I feel that.
Yeah, I'm debating whether I should go to Paris. Should I go to Paris?
You definitely go to Paris.
The flights are astronomically expensive, and I don't have a place to stay, but, like, who's stopping me?
Literally no one. Also, who says no in Paris?
I don't know. I mean, I could have an extramarital affair when I'm there.
You could bottom for bunk. I think that would be a strong move.
Sick.
Fashion. Fashion. Well, we've already delved into sexuality in pre-production. Barnett and I were talking about anal things. It was pretty open and explicit. And one of the reasons that we at Better World, even in episode one with cycles and sex, now all bodies, shout out to Lauren and Ashley, have delved into this is because we believe that humanity has to be woke in some capacity. And we believe in self-love and exploring all aspects of self-love and particularly sexuality. And its converse, fear. And so just as we like to shift consumer behavior towards really cool, badass things, like consumer plastic-free goods, we want everybody to happily and healthily go fuck themselves. So, with us today, none other than Polly from Unbound.
Hi, thanks. I'm really excited to be here.
We're excited to have you, Polly.
Oh,
I
want to
hear
you.
Everything.
Your PR company mentioned that you might be dark and moody, and we're super into that.
Yeah, I'm a dark soul. This industry will change a man.
Outstanding. Can you tell us a little bit about Unbound?
Yeah, we're a sexual wellness company. So we make vibrators, lubricants, and accessories with the goal of making them accessible through affordable pricing, elevated design, the works. But yeah, the adult industry is certainly not where I thought I would end up, or my mom for that matter. But
super stigmatized, right? Really, like, shame in the corner
weird,
thing, right?
Yeah, let me tell you, going to your first trade show in like a business casual suit and it's just like dildos everywhere and you're like, right. I'm in way over my head. But it's a great industry. There's so much to learn and there's so much history.
I mean, the dildos
to it.
Are like the tip of the iceberg, like the weird restraints are like...
Yeah. And you have to, like, at the trade shows, because, you know, God forbid this stuff be out in public, you have to meet one-on-one in hotel rooms. So, like, here I am.
Really?
Yeah, before we had the money to make our own stuff, I'm, like, going into these hotel rooms with these, like, older men that have been in this industry for, like, 100 years. Like, come on over here. I'm going to show you some tranny porn and some dildos. And you're just like, okay,
oh,
cool. We're just jumping right in. So,
yeah. So it's a good use. You're really putting your PhD from Stanford University to work.
I wish I had the money to have done that, but
Mango Materials.
But yeah, I did get a degree in economics. So
there you go.
Putting it to work.
Biopolymers and dildos have a lot in common. Thank you for creating the bridge already, Barnett. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to hear a little bit about how you came to this and your sort of like your vision and crusade, because I, for one, have only gone into, you know, the Sixth Avenue sex shop, you know, twice.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you
maybe
have.
Three times, maybe four, but like maybe five or six. But I know that a lot of people just won't. They feel like it's dirty, it's not got their product, it's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me personally, I was a young, naive Midwesterner who's like, I'm going to go change the world. And when I was 21 years old, I got diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer, speaking of all things anal.
Sick.
And as a result of that, I went through menopause, and none of my doctors told me about it. They were just like, oh, you're going to go through radiation and you will never have children. But that was all they ever mentioned. And so I was Googling my symptoms, and that was how I self-discovered I was going through menopause. And a good friend who was a nurse practitioner was like, you should buy some lube and a vibrator. And I grew up in St. Louis, where the only place that sold those was, to your point, a Hustler Hollywood. And it was like in a strip mall. And it was just this like really mortifying experience. And it always kind of stuck with me.
Right.
But I went on to work for Senator Claire McCaskill, and then in management consulting, and then at a dating startup. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of different
careers.
We're
just going to gloss over those real quick, apparently.
I mean, well, because I also...
working for a senator, I learned to fuck myself.
Well, the reason was I also lost healthcare as a result of getting cancer. And so it almost like financially destroyed my family. So I went to go work for Claire McCaskill specifically on the Affordable Care Act and just realized like the government is the least efficient path. And if you want to like create change in the world. So I ended up working at a dating startup, and Casper and Warby Parker and Glossier were just taking off. And to me, it was kind of like, well, why is nobody doing this direct-to-consumer business model for a category in which everyone seemingly would prefer to shop from the comfort of their home as opposed to in, you know, some seedy store or whatever, talking to a random sales associate about like one of the most intimate experiences of your life. So,
that's... And elevated design.
How do you deal with like education on the topic? So like, because it is a part of just sexual health is part of overall health, right?
You can read the blog. I didn't send you the link. I didn't send him the link. That was my bad.
That's all right.
No, but
I read the blog. It's not, the blog's fire.
You know, this isn't a quiz on Barnett's edification.
Like, quiz on Barnett's like, edification. Like, from
we need to edify. We need to let our like 1.32 million listeners.
We need to let them know.
We need to let them know.
Definitely tell us about the blog because it's fire.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Education was definitely a core component to why we have lots and lots of written articles, but it was also we couldn't advertise anywhere. Right. And so SEO and content was a huge way for us to get customers because 89% of millennials Google their sexual health questions as opposed to going to like a doctor or a family friend or
that's
whoever.
Such a wild statistic.
Yeah. But it doesn't surprise you, right? Like the first thing that goes wrong, what do? You get on WebMD and you find out that you're dying.
Right.
So, but seriously, we turn to Google for everything.
It's dope that you can laugh at that particular joke.
Because it happens.
Right. Literally.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. I'm digesting this cancer thing. I don't think I'm doing well with it. But
oh, no,
you're doing
I love
awesome.
It. Where do you think the dark, cynical side comes from? But seriously, I remember I did. I went to my like gastroenterologist and I was like, oh, I got on WebMD and they said it's cancer. And they're like, listen, lady, you're 21. The odds of you having colon cancer are like literally one in a million.
Right. Bad news.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I was misdiagnosed for like 4 years. So by the time they caught it, it was like pretty gnarly. But neither here nor there.
Congratulations on beating cancer.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It's huge.
Thank you.
Inspiring.
Oh. Thanks. I don't mean to be a jerk. Thank you, really.
You're out of bed without coffee. Like, we're feeling this.
But yeah, to go back to, I guess, like the content, we wrote it, one, because, yeah, we wanted to inform, but also because, like, there's so many questions people have. And the only, and like, there are also insane statistics about just like porn being the de facto sex ed in our country. So only 13 states require medically and scientifically accurate sex ed, which is such a low bar. Can you imagine extrapolating that to any other? Like, only 13 states actually require math and science to be based in fact. Right. Like, it's crazy. And so
I learned everything I needed to know about science from Battlestar Galactica.
I mean,
it's also not how the world actually works. Like information is accessible anywhere, especially here.
Like, right. But it's the average age a kid first is exposed to or starts watching porn now is between 8 to 11 years old.
That's insane. No.
Yeah. I mean, well, think about it. Well, one, for the record, I'm very pro porn, but I think we have to have like an array of narratives. But yeah, like, because kids now, the average age, they're getting iPhones and iPads and all this stuff. And so you type one word in that maybe it's misspelled or whatever. And, you know, one out of every three searches on the internet is sex related, specifically usually for pornography. I mean, Pornhub does more traffic than I want to say like most social media sites.
But yeah, porn is more trafficked than Google, Facebook, Twitter, like all of them combined.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, which is like, I keep trying to sell that there's a white space in terms of advertising products there, but like no one's feeling my bullshit on that.
No, we tried.
Coffee's going on Pornhub.
I mean, why not? Like, you should.
Because nobody clicks anything.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's because advertising maybe hasn't been very good.
Yeah. Well, the platform to run ads on porn websites is literally called Traffic Junkie. Yeah. I spent more time on that platform than I care to admit. But I hear you. Like, and also the cost per impression is nothing. It's garbage because people are going there with an intention. They're going there to masturbate. They're going there to get off. So nobody's going to click anything. But from like an awareness perspective, like if you're just trying to get top of the funnel, it's actually a pretty good, it is a good opportunity.
Interesting. So, first off, a minute again for your incredible story and congratulations again. Mm. And a great mission. How have you defined your success to date? What has been the response that you've received? Do you feel like you're making an impact on the education side of the fence? Tell us a little bit about, you know, like the average user journey and whether or not you've sort of been successful, you feel, in adjusting the consciousness to where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, we're a business, and so we always kind of sought out to, like, create products and education and all that stuff. I think the thing that has blown my mind is how people have turned to Unbound as, like, a therapist. I mean, one of the things we've had to actually really actively work on is training our customer service team in how to handle sexual trauma, sexual assault, like how to navigate people to the right resources, because people treat our customer service line as almost like a therapist, and we're not necessarily qualified to handle a lot of that stuff. Right. And I think it goes to speaks to, I think, how, you know, one in four women in college are sexually assaulted. Like, this is a massive systemic problem. And, you know, therapy is such a luxury in this country from a price perspective that, and there are a lot of really great startups out there that are tackling that problem itself. But when it comes to our sexuality and sexual identity, I think one of the most gratifying, like, forms of success is the overwhelming number of people who write in who say, this was a part of my life that I either didn't want to explore, didn't enjoy, or didn't feel like I had defined for myself. Right. And now, as a result of buying these products, of masturbating, of, like, owning my sexuality and literally being able to get myself off, I've been able to kind of reclaim that space. Mm. So I think that's been amazing. My favorite type of person that writes in are moms that are writing in to buy a first vibrator for their daughter who's maybe like anywhere from 14, 15, 16 because they want their daughter's first sexual experience and first orgasm to be one that they give themselves. And I think that that is amazing because I think about, like, you know, when my parents first talked to me about sex, it was just like, don't get pregnant. And it's, I think, showing a new way that people are looking at how to allow their kids to define their sexuality for themselves first.
This is really incredible. We have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to continue the conversation on sexual awakening. This episode of Better World is sponsored by SmileRadio.fm.
Oh, wrong show.
Drunk.
That's the first... That's the first commercial break I've ever disrupted, just for the record.
That's false.
Is that true?
Completely, flagrantly false. Shout out to your wife, who thinks we don't shout her out enough. SmileRadio.fm. Please check them out. They are awesome. We record out of the studio here on 24th and Lexington. Please come take a look. It's in the back of the Smile to Go.
Great chicken. Great
Elfcast. We encourage you to eat more vegan options these days, since I read at Arcadia that
plant-based.
Mm-hmm. I won't
but, like, if you want a little protein, like, you could get that here.
You can get that here. The chicken's good. Yeah. But we encourage vegan plant-based options, of course. So Smile Radio, check us out. Elfcast, some of the other brands
at pods. smileradio.fm.
at smileradio.fm.
yeah.
And we're back from that pre-recorded, unedited, you know, because we like to keep the authenticity of Barnett. It's just, it's what we have to offer here.
It's all I have.
Literally.
I don't have any advanced degrees. Like, I'm somewhat accomplished professionally, but, like, could be better at that. Could be skinnier.
Could be skinnier. Could post-fashion week, he comes in talking about being skinny.
But
you're a dad, my guy. You don't have to be skinny, all right? Go dad bob and man boobs all day.
Dad beauty is, like, a whole movement, by the way.
We can talk about that, sexual awakening and dad beauty, if you want to get in there.
Yeah, I would like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean,
that shifted really quickly.
No, I because dad bod was like a, like, I don't know, it had a moment. Is it coming back?
I don't think it ever left.
Oh.
It never left me, but...
he's carrying the torch. Also same.
I think that there is a awareness that needs to happen. Just on being serious, like, mm-hmm. I think sexual health is something that needs to be talked about, and I think certainly in married couples, whether they're traditional couples or non-traditional, like, it's not clear what is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And also, pregnancy does crazy ass stuff to a person's body.
Still afraid of your wife with the cursing thing, huh?
Yeah, yep. I've totally channeled that. And I probably does like hormonal things to the non-birthing partner too. I just think that like there's a lot of mystery around it, and and you know, so let's talk about it, I guess, you know.
Like, well, to your point about the thing that the number one thing I've learned in being in this industry and starting this business is like there is no such thing as normal. It's the number one question people ask, which is like, is this normal? And it's like there is no such thing. But I think when we all watch,
the nature of that question is am I enough?
Right? Yeah, of course.
There's like a lack in just asking the question.
Yeah, and when porn becomes the de facto narrative of what we think sex is supposed to look like, we of course are self-evaluating against like, well, my body doesn't look like that. Like that doesn't turn me on or whatever. Yeah, I think we have to abandon that question. And the only way to do that is to highlight the, you know, wide array of narratives that there are when it comes to sexual identity.
There are a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot.
It sounds like you have had a tremendous amount of experience with people who have had awakening moments, that they've come to you in some respect not having connected with themselves, and that through your product they really are able to deeply connect with themselves, maybe even like establish a type of practice, for lack of a better word, or to be completely like a new age yoga guy. Could go either way. I only do the hard yoga poses, bro. Didn't get you with that one. Fine. It's a Marcus quote. I thought I'd get you. Do you think that...
God bless him, by the way.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Marcus Antipy, episode 6. People, go check him out. Do you think that there is currently, and which, of course, you're a part of, if not spurring onward, a movement of more towards open-mindedness, embracing our different sexual identities, becoming a lot more comfortable with ourselves? Like, how do you see the zeitgeist shifting, and how are you guys making that? I mean, forgive me, I should be asking directly about the products and every single thing that you guys have, but I'm super interested about, you know, like the macro cultural shifts that are happening.
Yeah, well, I think the short answer is yes. I think for better or predominantly worse, Donald Trump getting elected was this like massive shift in even something as simple as like our vernacular. Like, you know, my mom's like, oh, you're wearing a pussy hat to the women's march. And I'm like, did you just say the word pussy? Like, what is happening? And it's because it became part of our vernacular as a result of him being caught on that video bragging about sexually assaulting people. So I think that the intersexual feminist movement, I think the Me Too movement, I think, you know, it's like, but it sometimes does feel like it's one step forward, two steps back, and that Brett Kavanaugh still got confirmed. We, you know, like still can't advertise anywhere. Like there are still these very systemic institutional barriers that prevent, I think, a greater level of open-mindedness in terms of like, I think the average consumer is more open to this and is much more comfortable talking about and bragging about owning a vibrator. But I think there are still, you know, old, no offense, old white dudes, not that I think you guys are old.
No, we're old and white,
but,
sadly.
But like that are still deeply uncomfortable with the notion and are very self-conscious around vibrators replacing them, which is such a selfish approach to sex. It happens all the time.
What a dumb fear. It's like...
Well, but it goes back to that also, I am less than. Also, if they
did, more sleep for me.
I mean, but it's about, do you want to have like a mutually enjoyable experience, or do you want this to be one-sided? And also it's just such a fear-based response.
Right. But again, it gets back to this fear, and it definitely gets back to this less than.
Right. Because 70% of women need clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm. And for the vast majority of them, that doesn't happen during regular penetrative sex.
You think that women should know their bodies first, and that the majority of the sexual trauma that they have gone through, that you seem to allude to it earlier, can be helped and facilitated in some capacity through masturbation and self-love?
Yeah. I mean, how can you expect to get somebody else off if you don't know it gets you off, you know? And I think that there's so much stigma around female masturbation more broadly that I think is going away a little bit. But yeah, and I think one of the things that's really interesting is just like the blocks we put up like involuntarily and subconsciously when we go through trauma, where we just kind of shut that part of our life off. And so it takes a lot to kind of like reopen it and say like, okay, I'm gonna like, you know, redefine this narrative in my head for myself.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things I learned recently actually is that a lot of victims of sexual trauma and assault, and specifically rape, have rape fantasies. And I was at this like really interesting conference with all these sex therapists in Washington, D.C. maybe like 8 months ago, and someone was giving a presentation on, you know, if you're seeing patients that have rape fantasies who are also rape victims, it's because neurologically our brains try to rewrite the memory. So if you have an orgasm, you are literally creating one of the strongest neurological pathways of overriding that trauma. So rape victims will come in and they'll be embarrassed and ashamed and say, why, if I am a victim of this, you know, really horrific incident, why do I have, you know, a fetish around it? Or why does it turn me on? And it's because it's literally your biological response to trying to rewrite a story in your head.
Got it.
Which is fascinating, right?
That's really fascinating.
What are three things that you know about being in the industry that you're in, about like sex or sex life or sex awareness, that most people wouldn't know?
It makes online dating really horrible.
You don't do the online dating? You don't?
I do, but it's like I've had a guy, I showed up on a date before, and a guy had like a crop with him that he literally brought. I was like, excuse me, what is that? He's like, well, I saw what your company does. You're into this. I'm like, bro, it's a first date. What is wrong with
also,
you?
Also, he gets a bro.
Yeah.
You show up with a crop? Bro.
Yeah, bro.
Bro.
Bro. Let's pump the brakes. I think the other thing is just historic. I mean,
is that actually the thing though? They like you show up to a date, they've done a little research on the internet and they expect sexual acrobatics.
I think people make a lot of assumptions, and people also think that I'm there to fix them sexually, in terms of like,
wow,
a lot of people that have gone through sexual trauma that like on a first date will open up about it. And I'm like, you know, empathetically, thank you for sharing that with me. I really hope that you'll talk to a professional about it, because that sounds really intense, which I think still goes back to this greater narrative and issue of like, we all are harboring all these mixed up crazy emotions and experiences that we don't talk about,
right?
Because of the shame and stigma around sex.
Right.
So that was number one.
How
do you encourage the sharing?
I think honestly through doing, like, which it can be overwhelming because I have so many people that will come up to me and do exactly that. But I think the more people that are brave enough to have the conversation, you give somebody else permission to have it too. So
crowd behavior.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to do it. I think you have to create safe spaces. You have to have consent driven conversations. Like, you have to ask someone, is it okay if I share this? And can we talk about this? And are you comfortable talking about this? But yeah, I think you just kind of have to be brave enough to start the conversation. Number two, the vibrator was invented in 1893. It's been around forever.
What?
Yeah.
By whom?
Granville Mortimer, I think is his name.
How was it powered?
Of course.
How was it powered? It was a steam engine vibrator?
Oh, shit. No, I don't remember. I don't know. But it was invented before, like, the air conditioner and the refrigerator and the, you know, dishwasher. It was a cure-all. It was like, have a headache? Use a vibrator. Want to lose weight? Use a vibrator. I mean, obviously, they soon found out none of those claims were true. But when it first came out, they were advertised in, like, a Sears Roebuck catalog. And it wasn't until pornography proliferated and they started showing up in porno films that then these mainstream outlets are like, we can't carry these products anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was, do you know what his background? What was he, a doctor of sorts?
Or? I don't know. I think he was an inventor.
A love doctor.
Yeah. I actually don't know. I should know the answer to that, and I don't.
That's okay.
He was a snake oil salesman.
We can follow up on that.
Yeah.
We can follow up.
You're going to go on an internet K-hole later. Watch. I'm calling it now.
Yeah. Mm. Better an internet K-hole than a K-hole.
That's correct. Well, actually depends what you're treating these days.
Okay. I don't know. You tell me. What are you treating with that?
I was told that depression is treated with ketamine these days.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of new studies about that. And psychotropic drugs more generally. Yeah.
Okay.
We're just a couple of woke sex individuals fresh back from Burning Man.
On the playa.
On the playa, bro.
Were you both on the playa?
I have only been twice and will likely not go back.
Not my brand.
There's just a whole lot of world to see. That's all.
Yeah.
Great party, though.
Someone did recently try and convince me to bring my whole family there, which is an uphill battle because, A, like, not my brand. Sure as hell ain't my wife's brand. But, like, am I... once you get past that, am I really going to bring a toddler to
And on that note, we will take our second commercial break. This episode of Better World is sponsored by none other than
Ben.
Oh, is this you interrupting again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. None other than Branch Basics. Check them out, guys. Branchbasics.com. We learned the other day here on Better World that the majority of the cleaning chemicals in your home cause all sorts of sicknesses. They release VOCs into the air. They cause cancer. Go take the home cleanse challenge at Branch Basics and load up on some good old-fashioned, healthy for the planet and healthy for people cleaning materials. Also check out blueland.com, because shout out to everybody in that class. And we're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Uninterrupted. Still, third time champions.
We were talking about Burning Man for a second, and we're not going to talk about it.
Are you sure you don't want to bring it back to Burning Man?
No.
Okay. So we have with us Polly, of course, from Unbound, and we are going to talk about what you can do as a listener to potentially even help overcome some sexual trauma. So I would note that masturbation has been known to be treatment for migraine headaches, severe nausea. Are there other recommended use cases for masturbation?
Anxiety.
Yeah. And if you can't sleep, it helps with that too.
Okay.
And just, I think, general, like, a lot of people find it, you know, somewhat of a meditative practice. I think it's one of those things
I've seen a lot in Goop on orgasmic meditation. There's that ecstatic breathing in Tantra. You know, there's a lot of meditative practices around the cultivation of sexual energy and masturbation itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just time for you to connect with your body. And there's so many different ways you can define that. And there's so many different, like, there's everything from tantric to, there's so,
number,
like,
one is connect with your body.
Let's yeah, call I it think that, so. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think, and I, you know, I think one of the things, one of my good friends, Mal Harrison, who started the Center for Erotic Intelligence, always talks about trying to masturbate without using stimuli. That's, like, basically pornography.
Right.
Because it's you're kind of cheating yourself a little bit.
Right.
And I think, like, that's hard, right? Because we're so on our phones
all the
time.
What are some of the best ways to connect with your body? So outside of the don't do this, what are some of the good do things for body connection?
I think it's about what feels good to you. So, like, a lot of people, like, take a bath and masturbate in the bath, touch yourself. Like, just making sure that you're setting aside time to have that time solely for you, and to, you know, try all different things that feel good, whether that's vaginally, anally, your nipples. Like, there's so many amazing ways to self-discover, and there's so many cool products that can also help kind of elevate that, whether it's something as simple as, like, lubricant or so many different types of vibrators that are out there now.
So number two, I would imagine, on this connect with the body being number one, would be to educate yourself. And this is why you guys have put forth all those resources.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's, there's so much important information, but I also think there's no need to really overcomplicate it. I mean, like, we should all know the different stages of our lives that we go through in terms of whether it's childbirth, menopause. Like, our bodies change so much throughout our entire lifespan that it's important to know kind of, like, how that evolves and grows. But it's also just as simple as, like, figure out what works for you. Like, just try different things, and don't be embarrassed or ashamed if you find something, you know, arouses you that you weren't expecting. Like, that's okay. Because, again, there's no such thing as normal.
Right. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you feel like the third and final is that everybody should just own a vibrator?
I mean, obviously, I'm going to say yes.
I'm just teeing it up for you.
Yeah, like,
I
run
softball.
But I think it's important. Like, one of the things that was really important when we started the business was when we looked at the market, the vibrators were, like, on average, like, $180 to $200. So for us, it was, how do you create, like, medical grade silicone, high quality products, and, like, our entry level vibrator is $18, because we wanted it to be accessible from a pricing perspective. And you do want to make sure that whatever vibrator you buy has medical grade silicone, because it's a product category that isn't regulated by the FDA. So if you go and buy stuff off Amazon, they're not required to disclose what's in any of that. And a lot of the times, the two main things you want to look out for are phthalates and parabens.
Right.
And just make sure that those are not in the product.
We've been learning a lot about phthalates and parabens recently.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting it in one of the most absorbent parts of your body. So
also,
yeah, just want to spend the extra $5 on something that's medical grade. Plus, you're going to have it forever, probably.
Are the materials ever going to become sustainable?
That's one thing we're working so hard on. It's so tough because it's such a tactile product,
yes,
where the touch and the feel of it, like silicone is soft and silky and all these things. And so the things that are out there today that are biodegradable are just rough and like not great. So that is something that I would say is the biggest area of opportunity, is developing something that is more environmentally friendly from a degradable perspective.
Got it. I would like to thank you personally for coming on and spilling all of the beans about the sexual trauma, the cancer, the dark underbelly.
Yeah.
All of the good things. And really, really appreciate you educating the world in this respect, in this regard, because you're absolutely right. And so just in review, we definitely recommend that you connect with your body.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely recommend that you educate yourself. We definitely recommend that everybody gets a vibrator.
Yeah, that's my code I live by.
That's my credo. That's how we live, fam. Well, BZ,
yep.
How are you feeling?
I feel good.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, Polly, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Polly.
Thanks for having me.
With us.
Yeah.
I am Henry Lynn.
I'm Barnett Zitron.
And we appreciate you listening to Better World. Please tune in again soon. We're going to be talking about carbon debt next week. It's big, people.
Holla.